This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. And our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to start out talking with Desmond Ferguson about the Pro-Am Summer Basketball League, which, you know, is a tradition, has become a tradition here in the Lansing area in mid-Michigan. So we're going to talk with Desmond about the league when it starts up, how many teams are going to be in it, and all those kind of things. So let's bring in Desmond Ferguson. Hey, Des, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Hey, doing pretty good, and hey, glad to have you on. I know the Summer League is starting, a week from this weekend, right?
Yep, that time of the year. We'll be starting the 7th, July 7th, over at Pattingale Middle School. We'll be back over there again this summer.
Okay. How many teams are you going to have in the league this year?
We're going to stick with the 6. So we'll have 6 good teams. We'll play 3 games every Saturday and Sunday, start on the 7th. So it'll be 3 o'clock, 4:15, and 5:30. Those will be the game times.
Okay. Now, how would I assume the Michigan State players? Some of them will be involved. How will you break them up?
The coaches at the state usually have it grouped up how they want the guys. So they send that over to me, and then I just kind of build around that. But pretty much most of the guys that are healthy will be playing.
Okay. Now, what's the team you have from? Will you have any other colleges coming in? I know Central Michigan had a team 1 year. I think team down in Albion or around there had a team in 1 year.
Well, Kalamazoo College, they was in for over the last X amount of years, but they weren't last year, but they're back in this year. Okay. So that'll be the only full college team, with those guys not being a Division I, they're allowed to have their full team together. Central Michigan, with the changes they made down there, they won't have any players playing this year. But, be based around, the Michigan State guys, the Oakland University guys, such as Valentine and Bader and those guys. And then the LCC guys, and then obviously the guys who've, played pro ball overseas and stuff that's from around this area.
Yeah, will you have any chance for local guys who've played ball, high school ball and such, that would like to play in it?
Well, the requirement we have is, one, you must have graduated high school, and two, you must have played or about to play junior college or college basketball. So, you have guys like, obviously, Denzel, is going out to state. He'll be playing in it. Former guys just from the area, you think like a Derek Nelson, Justin Jones.
Jonathan?
Say that again?
Jonathan Jones?
Yeah, just Jonathan Jones, Ingram, those guys that's playing professional ball now that's from the area will definitely be playing in. And some of the high school guys that's coming out that will be playing junior college will be playing as well. So it definitely will be a lot of local talent from the Mid-Michigan area.
And that's really good because it gives them a chance to showcase their skill set. Some of them, probably didn't get to play that much in college like they thought they were going to play. And so this gives them a chance to work on their games, individual games, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think this league is, and a big reason why we started, it allows the young guys to get a heavy dose of good competition in the summer, not just against their peers, but against pros as well. So it allows them to see the things they need to work on and be competitive in the summer months.
Yes, and it's going to start off, next Saturday, Sunday?
Yep, next Saturday, July 7th, we'll go every Saturday and Sunday. So we'll go next Saturday, the 7th and 8th. And then we'll go every weekend until August 5th will be the last date. So every Saturday, Sunday, 3 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday. So every team plays 2 games a weekend, 1 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday.
Okay. Now, how will the playoffs be formalized this year?
Yeah, we'll do what we did in the past. Every team make it to the playoffs. The first 2 teams get a bye. So on that Saturday, you have 2 games. It would be the bottom 4 teams, and then on Sunday you have the Final Four and the championship game. So that would be Sunday the 5th. But, as always, all the games are absolutely free to the public, so we encourage and, want to get good crowds and get everybody out there. Last year was definitely a step in the right direction, had a good crowd. We had good games, so allow for us to have a good crowd. But the games are absolutely free, and it gives a chance for, you know, a lot of people to see local talent as well as the Michigan State players.
And of course, this when the guys play, they won't have it won't be the traditional where they'll have coaches out there be telling them what to do and such. This is them making up their own minds on what they want to do. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, we usually have coaches on the bench, but it's not like a in season type of thing where the coach is yelling at them constantly or doing this and that. I mean, in some cases, you have that. But, Summer League is a lot more freedom, a lot more up and down. Summer League basketball is not as intense as a Big Ten season or, how that goes. But it's definitely really competitive, and I think you get a chance to see a lot of what people can do outside of, what you may see during the season.
Yes. Now, how is your Moneyball product selling? I mean, I know you've got the store and everything. So how has that been going for you?
Yeah, it's been growing. This is my first official year retired, so I've been home all year, and that's what I do all day, every day. We've been able to grow and expand and do a lot more. You know, we specialize in the custom basketball uniforms for the high school and colleges around the state and throughout the country. So, we got all three of the Lansing schools, Lansing Everett, Sexton and Eastern. We've done Saginaw Valley State University, Wayne State University. So we've definitely been growing, and we're also breaking off and doing softball and baseball and football and other sports. We did Lansing Community Colleges. We did a girls softball team, and we did the boys and girls basketball team as well. So, the foundation of the business is the uniform, but we also are really beginning to grow with our retail and our different T-shirts and shorts and sweatsuits and stuff that we have available at the store. So I definitely encourage anybody to check out MoneyballSportswear.com or to stop by our store located on the south side of Lansing, the corner of Pleasant Grove and Holmes, 2121. West Home Road, Suite C, right next to Quality Dairy. We have some, great products, and we have definitely a great price.
Okay, that's great. Now, I know you follow a lot of high school basketball in the area. How do you see high school basketball this year, and how did you look at it last year?
See, just in the Lansing area alone, I felt the conference around here was the best in the country. The best in the state, and we had obviously some of the best players in the state when you talk about Valentine, when you talk about Herndocks, when you talk about Bullman over at Eastern. East Lansing had a good team. Holt is always strong, and LCC. So, it was some great basketball in the area. I think, in my opinion, some of the best talent that Michigan has seen in a long time. Obviously, when you got Sexton with three Division I, guys that left it, that's huge in itself. But, I think it's some good young talent coming up, and Lansing and Michigan area has always been a basketball area. I think you continue to see some good basketball and some good players.
Yes. What do you think makes the basketball so good in this area? It's been pretty good these last few years. Is it just guys basically working out on their own? I've heard a lot that we really have good coaching in the area. Have had a lot of good quality coaches here in mid-Michigan.
Oh, man. Easy is the best group of coaches in the mid-Michigan area, not just the CAC blue and red, but in the surrounding areas, and that definitely helps. But I think you have some young kids that's committed to really improving and getting better, and have goals and aspirations of playing the next level in college, and they're putting in the work. LaDonta Henry was a great example of somebody who's progressed and really put in that work, and what he did in the Big East last year was truly a testament of Lansing and of Eastern and Coach Watson, what he's done. And they continue to, Eastern is continuing to put out great players, and as well as Valentine. To bring home two state championships 2 years in a row. That's a huge feat. And just the way they play so unselfish. That was one of the best teams, in my opinion, to come through the area. And it goes on and on. I think the basketball continues to thrive in this area.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I agree with you. I think we've got some really good talent in this area. Very good coaching in the area. It's had great coaching for a lot of years. And I just see it continuing to grow. And we've just gotten, like you say, a lot of really good talent in the area. Now, some guys, as you well know, don't work as hard as they could, will never reach their potential. And I know that's the challenge of getting these guys to work harder. heart so they absolutely reach the potential that they have within them. How difficult is that, Desmond, when you look at making guys or teaching guys to play to their best and to reach their potential?
It's just an understanding. I think, you know, a lot of kids don't truly understand what it takes to, you know, get on a level of LeBron James or Kobe Bryant or Kevin Durant, all the hours and time that they put in. You know, they think just run up and down the court playing basketball can do that. You really have to be committed to your craft and what you're doing. You have to really make some sacrifices. You know, with the young kids nowadays, they have so many distractions or, you know, things that, you know, sway them away from what they maybe need to concentrate on, rather be, you know, video games or, you know, different things that's going on. You know, the focus hasn't, I wouldn't say hasn't been there, but sometimes isn't there. And I think they just need somebody, you know, I think even us as young kids, we always needed someone to show us or tell us, you know, what it's going to take to get to the next level, if that's a goal, aspiration of yours. But you know, it all goes down to hard work. And like I said, we've had some, the last couple of years, we had some good examples when you talk about Anthony Clemens, when you talk about Valentine, when you talk about Hinton. You know, those guys have put in the work. So these younger guys are seeing what it's going to take to get to that level, and hopefully they're following their lead. But you know, first and foremost, you've got to be willing to put in a lot of countless hours of improving and working on your game.
Now, Desmond, you were always a great shooter, one of the better shooters coming out of the area. What makes a good shooter? What makes, I mean, I know I've seen guys at times put up 100, 200 shots a day, sometimes 300 shots a day. I would sit and watch, and they'd shoot maybe 30% of those 200 shots or 100 shots. What makes it, and what do you have to do to become a really good shooter?
I think more than anything, you have to have repetition and you have to have confidence. You know, in the prime of my career when I was shooting, I would make 1,000 shots a day. Like, I think the focus should be more on made as opposed to attempts. If you go in the gym and shoot 500 shots and you only make 150, that's not a good percentage with no defense on you. So I like to concentrate on makes when working out. But really, really getting that repetition, getting a lot of shots up. You know, the more you shoot, the more confident you become. And, you know, just standing at the gym and really working on game shots. I mean, some kids come in the gym and, you know, start shooting up, throwing them half-court shots. So I think they don't really work on the, you know, the mid-range game or short shots or working on the touch. You know, it's all about the three-pointer or dunk right now. So just really finding out where you can be good at or where you want to improve at and work on those things in the gym and get a lot of shots up more than anything.
Okay. Hey, Desmond, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we look forward to Moneyball, and that starts next week. And what, that's July 6th and 7th?
July 8th, next weekend at Patton Gill Middle School. Games are absolutely free, starting at 3 o'clock on July 7th. So we're going 3 o'clock, 4:15, and 5:30, both on Saturday and Sunday. And we'll go every Saturday and Sunday until August 5th. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. You know, the players are calling me. They're ready to get going. So once again, I encourage everyone to come out. You can't beat free, good basketball in a great area that loves basketball. So definitely come on out and enjoy the games.
Oh, yeah. Is any of my teams from Flint coming down this year?
No, they won't make it down this year. I had briefly assisted Marcus Gray and Antonio Smith. They're starting a basketball league down there. I don't know if it's NCAA certified or not. I don't think they're allowed to have college guys in it right now. So they're starting off a little smaller. But, you know, Flint is a league that, you know, I used to play in before Lansing, before we had our own program, and it was real strong. So hopefully they get back on. But, yeah, we had two good teams. You know, they played in the championship last year, both of them from Flint, with Charlie Bell and those guys. And, you know, they won't be playing this year, but we still have a lot of great talent that'll be displayed this summer.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Desmond. Good talking with you. And we'll talk to you again real soon, buddy.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Desmond Ferguson of Moneyball Sports and Moneyball shirts and jerseys. He produces and he's got a shop on the south side of Lansing. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
It's still more than 4 months to Election Day, but as the candidates, their messages, and the battlegrounds come clear, Romney advisor Vin Weber and Democratic pollster Anna Greenberg join political junkie Ken Rudin. Plus, the Supreme Court decisions, the primary battles for Orrin Hatch and Charlie Rangel. From the Aspen Ideas Festival, I'm Neil Conan. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with the weather. Today's high 87 degrees and mostly sunny. Mostly clear and a low of 68 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and windy with a high reaching the upper 90s. Mostly sunny for Friday, maybe rain and thunderstorms. Friday's high, 90.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, now let's turn our attention to talking more basketball with our good friend, the head coach of Lansing Community College, Mike Ingram, is with us. And Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. It's always a pleasure talking with you. I know your summer camp's going on right now, so I'm probably messing you up with your camp going on, right?
We just got back from lunch. You know, kids are kind of shooting around, but I got some good workers, and you know they'll be able to handle. But I'm in my second consecutive week of camp right now.
Okay. Now you're telling me that you've got some scouts for kids who, if they come over and play and such, that might get a chance to play overseas. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, Earl, me and Andre Taylor, and Andre runs a sports academy called Mid-Michigan Sports Academy. We're trying to run an overseas camp for, seniors or kids that have played outside. And, you know, what we've done is we've confirmed three agents coming in, two overseas agents, and also there's a new ABL league out in Florida, and they're sending a guy here also. So, you know, I'm kind of excited about that. We're getting a lot of hits on it, but I think that Lansing's had a couple times where they've thrown a camp like that and it didn't go well for the kids, or it wasn't organized, or the person that did it wasn't a reputable guy. And so I think ever since then I've always wanted to try and run one, but I always felt that the thing that you had to have was you had to have confirmed agents coming in, and we have that. And with me, I'm like this: hey, I can't promise that you're going to get picked up, but what I can promise is that we're going to have, you know, legitimate agents there. You know, one of them represents Portugal, France, and Spain, and then we've got the only certified agent in Portugal coming over. And so, you know, I'm excited about it for the players, and I've talked to those agents, and they know this is the first time we ran it, and they've given me some ideas on how to do it and what they would try to do for us, you know, and if they could get a player out of here, and if it's ran well, that they'll come back next year and tell a couple other people about it.
Yes, and I know the players, the talent, of course, in the Mid-Michigan area has been getting better and better, so I would like to think they might be able to find a couple of players out of here.
There are some real solid players in Lansing that have played at the lower levels overseas and then didn't get a call back. And so I'm anticipating a couple of those guys coming in. But what we got is a July 28th date. It's the phone number for it is 517-410-8079, and that would be Andre Taylor is the contact, and then they get all the information there. But we also have a July 13th deadline, you know what I mean? So if we don't have enough kids, you know, we don't want to waste the kids' time or the players' time that have put in have registered for, and we also don't want to waste the agent's time for them coming out of town, you know, also. So, I think it's going to go. But when you call me, I said, I was just thinking about this, and maybe I can get on Earl's show and, talk about it a little bit.
Yes, and it's a good move, good for the kids in there, at least to get a look and see and get them. And this will give them a better idea of what they need to do to play at the next level, won't it?
Right. You know, it's $125, but I think if you sign up, before July 13th, that is $100, and the guy's going to get three games. They'll get a jersey, and that's what the agents have told us. They just said, "Hey, let's just go three games," and they want it to only be at about 40 guys, and I thought if we got 30, that we would be all right. And like I said, I know the guys here in town that have a good chance of making it, but they want to they want me to make sure that, they say, "Hey, Mike, at least have some guys there that have a legitimate shot." They wouldn't want to come in and see, 30 or 40 guys that have no shot, but you never know. You never know who can, play at that level, because, you could be an off the chart athlete and never played before and get an opportunity. And so you also could be somebody that just, got missed, but we're trying to give them the opportunity again. So, like I said, I always wanted to do it, but it took me a long time to get agents, mm-hmm. I just felt like you just couldn't do it without having, some confirmed agents, coming. So I think players are doing their research. I think they're a little leery, but it is legitimate. It is legitimate, and the agents are going to be there. But and then the rest is up to them. The rest is up to them.
Yeah. Now, with the players coming in, do they know or have an idea of what they need to show? Because as we've seen guys that just come into camps and do things, just shoot. They think that's the main thing they need to do. I know the agents probably don't think that way. So do the players know some of the other things they need to do than just show that they're a good shooter?
Earl, I don't know. I don't know what they're looking for. I think that what I would do is I would try to come in tip-top shape, number one, And I try to do what I do best, whatever that is. If shooting is what you do best, I try to make sure I did that. If you're a great rebounder, I try to make sure, I did that. If you're a great athlete, I try to be athletic at all times. But I think the number one thing is to be, in great shape, because when you're in great shape, I think that you can be in great character also. I think if you get tired and things don't go bad, I think that you may show a side of yourself that you don't want to show. And that might just happen, because you're tired, So I think the number one thing, if guys were enrolling and they were calling me and asking me, that's what I would tell them. I would just say, do what you do best, but make sure that you come in here, in tip-top shape. It would be just like if you did get a job, you'd have to show up in, great shape. And the guys that I know that are playing overseas or have played overseas, they've always been in great shape.
Mike, what are you teaching these days at your summer camp now? What kids or what's the age range of the kids that you have in your summer camp?
We have third to eighth graders, boys and girls, and I've had my first camp was really good, and my second camp is going pretty good right now. A couple of years ago, Earl, we started putting a lot more emphasis on games and playing, and the kids like that. We put an emphasis on the skill work, and for the coaches to watch them, and then also to have a draft and pick the players, and then those players stay with that coach the rest of the camp. And that way, it's not a random shot at trying to find out kids' names. The kids know that they're going to be with one coach, and so the coach gets to know them. And the league, when you go in the league play, has been, really competitive. Now, of course, I always stay with the great skill work that, we've always done, with the shooting, the dribbling, the passing, the conditioning drills. We're always going to do that. But like I said, in the last couple of years, we put a lot of emphasis on playing, and the kids have really liked that. I thought, I wanted to do it for a while, but I was just, doing camp. I was just in a camp mode of doing drills all the time. And then I think it just became boring for the coaches, and it became boring for me. And then all of a sudden, you know, especially if you have kids that have been with you, you know, 2 and 3 years, they don't need to keep doing the same thing over and over. Now, we still do the drills because, you know, I still think that you need to have that. But we put a lot more emphasis on games. But also, we also do contests. We do three-point. We do free throws. We do a one-on-one. And we pick out hard work awards, and we give something away. For every time you win something, we give something away. And then we end the camp with an award ceremony. And our award ceremony is just, you know, for the parents to come in and see the type of things that we've been doing. Because what I do is on Thursdays, when I do all our contests, I do them. And then that way, when the parents come in, they don't have to sit down and watch 7 or 8 kids compete. Okay, they get to see the whole camp work out.
Hey, Mike, now, how do the kids, I know one of the hardest things to do is to convince kids to continue to work on their on the drills, especially when they leave camp and work on their drills for basketball season. Is there a way you could tell if you have kids coming back, does that give you some indication that they've been working on the drills during the season and they come back even ready or more so next year, each and every year?
Well, I think that's a great part about it, because I think that we give such great prizes for being a 3-point champ and being a lightning champ and, you know, being a free throw champ, you know, both boys and girls. And a lot of times you can see the kids that don't win, and you can see the look on their face of, you know, of disappointment. But it really does makes you feel really good when that same kid or 3 or 4 of those kids come back the following year and know that there's going to be contests in camp and come in with the game face on and be ready when those events start and win them. You know what I mean? And so that happens a lot here, that kids come back the following year that don't do well in the games and the plan for a championship, and then they come back the following year and really become really competitive and either get to the championship game and win it or end up in second place. You can see the satisfaction. And I think that as I've gotten older in camp, I think I've gotten softer, and I would like rather give every kid in camp something besides, you know, we always give a T-shirt and stuff, but, you know, make sure they all walk away with something. But my kids are adamant that both boys and girls, that they come in and earn it. You know, I'll call them and say, hey, I'm just thinking about giving every kid a water bottle, you know, instead of some kids walking away saying to my kids, they want to earn it, you know, make them play for a championship. And they're adamant about every one of them, Justin, Jocelyn, and Elaine, they want the kids to be competitive. And so I stay with that.
Okay. Hey, Mike, now, you had a pretty good team last year. Tell us what your prospects for this year are going to be.
You know what? You know, I'm really excited. I think that I've had a great recruiting class. I think that I've got a couple of transfers coming in, and hopefully a real big transfer for me, for a kid that went to Division I school and thinking about coming back home. And he's a much better player than he was when he left. He's got great size on him. He's an athletic. You know, I already got Cameron Sanchez coming back, who I thought was the top guard in the region, top point guard, you know, in the region. And Skyler was all conference. Skyler Moore, Montel Smith was right behind those guys, and he's had a great summer. And I think that, you know, when you have that's three sophomores, three guys that started as freshmen. And I think that you're really good when you have sophomores, and then you take a couple of transfers are going to be older guys. I really like the guys that I have coming in. Our open gyms have been a lot more competitive. They've been a lot more athletic, and they've been a lot more, you know, a lot tougher. So, you know, you never know how guys or teams come together, you know, as a team. But, you know, I've been talking to some of the guys that, you know, aren't used to being here at LCC, and kind of just, you know, telling them that, hey, you know, we do things a certain way, and if you don't want to do it that way, you know, you probably shouldn't come here. But the other thing that I've been really trying to work on is trying to work on Cameron's leadership and trying to teach him how to make his teams, you know, follow his lead, because he plays, you know, so hard at both ends of the floor, but it's time that he learns how to make his teammates play that hard. And so I think he's listening to me, and I think that he might be ready for a breakout season. And this time I've got the weapons around him. Not to say that we didn't have the weapons last year, but I think we just got more players and a lot more size also.
Yeah, Mike, when I've talked to not only to you and other coaches as well, seems like developing leadership is one of the hardest things to do, because guys just like to be buddy-buddy with their friends. No one really wants to be a leader. Is that one of the most challenging things, trying to make a guy become a leader?
Well, I think it's really great when you have, you know, guys that are, you know, natural leaders. You know what I mean? Like, you take Draymond, you know, Draymond was a natural leader. You know, he could get guys to follow him. You know what I mean? We had Joe Powers a couple of years ago, and I remember when I brought Joe in here, my wife and everybody else, and boy, I don't know what you're going to do with him, but shoot, I loved Joe in high school, and I knew he was going to be great here, and he was. You know what I mean? He's just a natural-born leader, you know, and those guys do everything. They rebound, they pass, they shoot, they take charges, they play defense, they yell at guys, you know, they yell at the coach every now and then, you know what I mean? And so, and Cam's almost the opposite. He tries to lead by example, you know what I mean? But, you know, sometimes, you know, nowadays guys don't follow this. So somebody's got to be the leader. Somebody's got to be the leader. Somebody's got to, you know, take charge. And so, and like I said, it is great when your best player is your natural, you know, leader. So, and I think that's what we lacked last year, even though we were pretty good. And we're still lacking that a little bit right now, but I think we possibly have the talent to overplay that. But I'm just really hoping and really working with Cam on that aspect that, you know, hey, don't be afraid to tell guys, you know, what to do, you know, and how to do it, you know what I mean? And you know, you can't argue with guys, you can't get mad at guys when you do it, you know, you just have to lead them, and they'll see that you're leading. So it is important, and I think it's important, you know, in every sport. And I think even with Miami, I've been hearing, you know, I read a lot of stuff about them winning. But, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, they say about, you know, LeBron, you know, that, hey, he's a great leader, you know. And yeah, they won a championship because of it.
Yeah. Hey, we got a caller for you. We got John on the line. John, how you doing?
Good, Earl. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I am not a LeBron James fan, I will tell you that much. That guy is a little too arrogant for my liking. And the witness and all that garbage. That guy, I've never liked him, but he is a great talent. I will not take his basketball ability away from him. Hopefully the Heat do not win the eight championships like he thought that they would. So hopefully someone knocks him off next year. I think the Thunder are a year away. I think next year it's the Thunder's year. They have a lot of talent as well. And Kevin Durant, I think he's going to keep improving as his NBA career goes along. And hopefully they can dethrone the Miami Heat. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that happening next year.
Okay. Well, Mike, do you think you see Miami repeating or the Thunder just a year away can get in there next year?
Well, I've thought all along that, you know, if Oklahoma doesn't play any defense, they're not going to win the NBA championship. You know, you know all the great teams that win it with defense, and it became real apparent to me during the series that Miami realized that down the stretch in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game that Oklahoma couldn't stop them, and it looked like they felt that they could stop them in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game. And I thought that's the way it played out the whole time. I mean, guys can score and do all those things. If you remember, Oklahoma was scoring all the time up until, you know, like the last 3 or 4 minutes, you know, of the game. I think Kevin Durant is a great talent. I think he's probably is the best shooter, you know, in the game, and you know, no doubt about that. But those other guys are, to me, better than him. You know what I mean? You know, LeBron James is the best player in the league, and he overshadows LeBron. I mean, Wade so much that it kind of made people forget that, you know, Dwayne Wade is a mega superstar.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Dwayne Wade is a stud, super, super stud. And people failed to realize that. And then you come with Bosh. They had three of the best defensive players in that series. You know what I mean? So, and then you look at the other two guys they had, and I didn't realize this until the last couple games. You know, Chalmers, he won a national championship. What's the other guy? Duke. Battier, they won a national championship. You know, so here's guys that have played in the biggest stage of basketball, played in front of millions of people in the big games, you know, and all of a sudden, guess what? When it got to them the last two big games, those guys are stepping up. So, I mean, you know, Miami had a lot of intangibles, and if they make a couple trades and get a couple guys in there, maybe another veteran or pick up a Draymond Green or something like that, it's hard to win eight championships. I mean, I think that's going to be tough. I mean, you know, what Michael Jordan won six, but, you know, he had a super, super great guys with him, and, you know, Magic and Bird, and I won three, and they had, you know, Hall of Fame basketball players, you know, with them. So it's going to be tough, hey. It's going to be tough, Oklahoma, because I don't play no defense, Earl.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Mike, I want to thank you for joining me. Yeah. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend.
Hey, Earl, the Oklahoma fans don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. The Muzz don't play no D.
Yeah, they have to get better. That's for sure. Our man, the shooter there, Kevin Durant's got to get stronger.
Yeah. He, like I said, he can really shoot, but, you know, like, he's not doing anything else. You know, he's not getting any assists. You know, he's not getting any rebounds. You know, he's not stopping nobody. You know what I mean? And he's got to get better. But, you know, they're a good team. But, you know, Miami's, you know, better than him right now. So.
Hey, I got
right,
one.
Girl,
okay, hey,
what's
Mike,
that?
I got one final question here for you. I got an email question that says, "Who are the local players that will be continuing their playing careers at LCC next year?"
Oh man, I knew you was going to ask me that, and I don't have a list in front of me. Who am I bringing in? Let me think. You know what, Earl? You have to hit me on another text. I usually write that stuff down, and a couple guys are coming in that I can't really talk about because they're transferring in from a couple schools, but they are from the local high schools here. I didn't get a couple of the guys here, but, man, I can't think of
Well, I'll get you back on again, and we'll talk about that next time, buddy.
Or I'll email you something, and you can get it then. Right now, I knew you were going to ask me that. All right, girl. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Mike Ingram, the head coach of Lansing Community College, talking sports with us right here on AM 870. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on WKAR.
After 9/11, Congress directed Kenneth Feinberg to value the life of a banker differently than the life of a cop. The experience changed the way he handled compensation for victims at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm. I decided, after consultation with the families, one size fits all in terms of death.
I'm Neil Conan. Who gets what? Kenneth Feinberg joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today's high, 87 degrees and mostly sunny, mostly clear, and a low in the upper 60s tonight. A hot day Thursday with a high of 97, windy and mostly sunny tomorrow. Friday, the high will be 90 degrees, mostly sunny, and a chance of rain and thunderstorms. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Now we're going to talk a little baseball today, talk about those Detroit Tigers. Got our good friend on the line, Lynn Henning is with us. Lynn Henning, the columnist for Detroit News, is with us, and we'll talk a little baseball with Lynn. Lynn, how you doing, my man?
Everything is fine on a hot day in Michigan, Earl.
Yeah, and the Tigers, I mean, people are still scratching their head wondering, what kind of team do they have here? You've seen enough games, I know. What do you make this team to be at the present time?
About what you've seen, in one respect, they're lucky to only be a couple of games out of, or under 500. But I think they're great faults could be repaired if Dombrowski can find a second baseman, and if they can figure out how to add one more bat to the lineup, Earl. I think those are the really the big challenges right now. Otherwise, their pitching should be good enough, but you've got to get more offense involved in these games, and that's going to be more than one batter. It's going to be two bats, in my estimation, and it begins with a new second baseman.
Yes, when I look at the box scores and such every night, you see a lot of times where they're not getting that production going down from 5 through 9, right, game in, game out.
And it baffles everybody because, really, some of these guys should have had big years, and that's not stretching anything. If you go by track records, and even if you want to account for Rayburn's bad first halves, he should by now have been hitting and should have been hitting a lot. He's not. Bosch is reverting back to the second half of 2010. That probably surprises me more than anything because he played so consistently last year, and I really thought he was maturing into a very dangerous and productive hitter. That hasn't happened. Dylan Young hasn't hit very well. You can't expect the world from him. He probably overachieved a little bit in that cameo with the Tigers last year, but he hasn't done well. Then Alex Avila has also had a low-key first half. A lot of it's been due to his tendonitis flaring up. But you take that many bats, Earl, and then you don't have really an answer at second base. And, the wonder to me is that they're only two games under 500, and they're still in the race here. But that's because their pitching tends to be pretty good, and that's the bright side for a Tigers team here, that if they could find a couple of answers in their lineup and batting order, probably would be back in the thick of it.
Yes, that's one thing, Lynn. That I think everyone was on the mark about that division. That's definitely one of the weakest divisions in baseball and in the American League, certainly. I mean, you know, you look at the East, all teams are over 500. You look at in the Western Division, you've got two teams that are strong over 500 and a couple not. But, boy, that Eastern Division is pretty weak, and yet Chicago has found a way to get to the top, and Cleveland is still right there. It looks like they may be there for the rest of the year.
It's a relatively weak division, but I'm finding out in the American League this year that just about anybody's dangerous. And yeah, it's a little like the NFL in that regard, Earl. There's a little more parity in certainly this league than there has been in the past. And it's taken a dramatic jump upward this year. It doesn't matter who you play right now, in the East or in the West, they can really lay the lumber on you. And that's a combination of good pitching and fairly good hitting. You go to the West, the Angels are no fun right now, and I picked them to win that division. They still might. But really, take even teams like Oakland or the Mariners. Very, very dangerous teams to play. They're balanced in the same way that Baltimore's got some balance now. Toronto can hurt you, even with all their injuries. Doesn't matter where you go in the league. But I think the same applies to a large extent to the American League Central. Because Cleveland and Chicago are not what you would call patsies. And Kansas City, again, I still say watch out,
yeah,
because they could end up even determining this division race because of not only games they'll win, but people that they're going to knock off here during the second portion of the schedule. So it comes down for the Tigers to one thing. And that is, you're going to have to replace a couple of soft spots in the batting order. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be cheap. It may not even be doable because the market is not offering up a whole lot of talent for trade right now. But that's really the mission, Earl. If they do that, I still think they probably win the division.
Yes. Now, do the Tigers have to make some substantial improvements on the defensive end? We know they ground into a lot of double plays. How is this defense? Is that another potential weak spot that they'll have to maybe even shore up even more so? Not this year. Maybe they can get to it next year.
It's pretty tough to change the defense, obviously, at first base and third base and shortstop because those guys are going to be there, Peralta, Prince, and Cabrera. Second base is your one opportunity to get an upgrade there. If they make a deal with the Astros, let's say for Jed Lowry, they get a bat and they get a better glove. There's one quarter of your infield that would improve. Now, Santiago can play a decent second base, but he's not an everyday player. So you can get improvements made there. Now, when you get Andy Dierks back, if you get him back from this Achilles, then you've upgraded left field a little bit over, certainly over Delmon Young. And you've also got an option there in right field because Bosch is not a good defensive player. So you're right. Their defense all along has been one of the areas that we knew was going to be a trap door for this team. But in the same way that you could upgrade a couple of positions offensively, I think it's reasonable to say you might get a little help defensively too.
Okay. Hey, give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. Got a caller for you on the line. Hey, your good buddy Jerry's giving us a call.
Earl. I don't ask me why, but I just anticipated that a certain voice from Hazlitt might be calling in here today.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, and I can't wait to find out what national angle Jerry is going to be inquiring about now, rather than anything specific to the Detroit Tigers.
you're throwing spitballs at a battleship, my friend. But anyway, Lynn, good to touch base with you, my friend. Earl, thanks for taking the call. I'm tempted to ask Lynn a real curveball and ask him about Spartan football, which I'm sure you'd probably opt in on, but I'm going to wait on that just for a seasonal consideration.
Don't wait too much.
we'll talk a little bit during the season, Lynn, but I did have just a question about the Hall of Fame voting. Obviously, Roger Clemens has been in the news, and as recently as yesterday, Drew Sharp was vehemently against voting Roger Clemens in, and Buster Olney, on the other hand, said that no one really has any business getting moralistic retroactively. So there seems to be a divergence among the working press and the media on this. I don't know what your status is in the Hall of Fame voting, but I did wonder how you would vote for Clemens, and how you feel in general about voting the so-called steroid players and players of that era in, and if you have come to some determination on that.
The voters are separated into various blocks, and yes, only represents the group that says, "Look, we don't know who and how much, therefore, I'm not going to even let performance-enhancing drugs be part of my consciousness when I vote." Drew would represent another end of the spectrum. I have a third point of view on this thing, and it's consistent with the policy that I've used on the Hall of Fame ballot since 1989, which was the first year, I think, that I voted. And it's this. If I believe performance-enhancing drugs or steroids or whatever the case may be might have influenced a man's numbers to a point where it made him less than marginally qualified and might have put him just over the line, let's say Mark McGwire, I'm reluctant to vote for that person because I believe, and I believe that the body of evidence suggests that he got help for a significant amount of seasons and that his numbers otherwise might have been wanting for a Hall of Fame plaque. So I don't vote for Mark McGwire. I don't vote for Rafael Palmeiro. And I hope I'm not being unfair or I'm not denying these guys due process, but I think you also have to be smart, and I think you have to take into consideration here preponderances of evidence. On the other hand, if I think a guy has achieved Hall of Fame numbers and that likely the PEDs or the steroids had no real effect on that ultimate outcome or production, then I tend to vote for the player, and I will vote reluctantly because I don't really like Roger Clemens. That simple. But I'm not going to allow personal likes or dislikes get into my ballot. I never do, and I don't think 98% of the voters do. So I will vote for him. I will vote for Barry Bonds for the same reason. But I won't vote this year for McGwire, and I won't vote for Palmeiro. There are some other people out there who I try to do my homework on, and they may or may not make it this year. But that's the best way I can answer it. it goes back to Pete Rose. I always believed Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, but at the bottom of his plaque, it should say Pete Rose was suspended for life from baseball because he bet on baseball games. That way, I believe you're being true to both spheres. But my policy. It's not perfect. I have yet to find one that is perfect or I describe to it, Jerry.
Well, that's as close to perfect, to be honest with you, Lynn, as I can ascertain. I think you reflected what I think a lot of us as fans and lovers of the game feel and how we're going to make that decision. It's an unusual. It isn't as easy as even a shoeless Joe Jackson or even a Pete Rose, you know, in terms of how serious the offense was. But you do have to make that demarcation. And I think nobody wants to make it, but I think we're all comfortable with that. And I agree with you. And when I think of Barry Bonds, you know, as best we can figure out, he had Hall of Fame written on him and reflected in his performance before the time when he literally and figuratively ballooned, into the stratosphere in terms of his performance. I do think there's you're going to get people on both ends of the spectrum that are going to be very, very rigid about it. But I hope that your particular opinion prevails in terms of the writers, because I think that'll be best for them, and I think it'll be best for the game.
It's an imperfect search here for one particular answer here that we could all subscribe to. And I haven't found it. Therefore, the best for me has been to approach it in the manner that I just explained. And that's what I'm going to do again this year, right or wrong.
One other quick footnote, Lynn, on that. Are you comfortable with the 75% requirement?
Yes, I think it's worked real well. And I think it's led consistently to good people going in. I think the five-year waiting period is also very beneficial because it keeps people from acting impulsively on candidacies. You need that little amount of time to get perspective, historical perspective on these guys' careers. But I think the 75% works well. It's not a case where everybody...
It's received some criticism, it seems, in light of other Hall of Fame votings, but I tend to agree with you on that. So, listen, good to talk to you, my friend. We'll catch you on down the road. Earl, thanks for taking the call, and I'm enjoying the show.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, Jerry, we'll talk a little football next time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. See you later, Jerry. Yeah, bye-bye. Yes, Lynn, and that's the thing. I'm sort of wondering, too. We won't be around to see it, but as the age group gets younger for the voters in the Hall of Fame, this generation gets in and takes over, I'm not sure if we'll see guys who really have a strong dedication to keeping the guys who used drugs out of the Hall of Fame in this next generation. It just doesn't seem like the guys really care. People just really care that much about the history of the game.
I think they care, Earl, and yet we're affected here very, very centrally here by this whole controversy because it's landed right in our laps. And you're right, it may dissipate here as time goes on as any kind of central consideration. But right now, I think we have no choice but to give it its appropriate discussion and at least talk about it and try to make the best votes we can.
Yes. Hey, Lynn, I got to let you go, but as you know, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And hey, I just want to know, what's wrong going on, you think, with the Detroit Lions? Another guy getting in trouble again.
In some respects, you say to yourself, gee, back when they were terrible, they didn't get anybody in trouble, but they also didn't create any trouble on the field. I don't think it's quite that cut and dried as far as cause and effect. But they have taken some chances here on some people, and they thought they were going to be able to cheer and whip them into good conduct. I guess we're finding out otherwise here, Earl. It's not helping. We'll see how it plays out during training camp.
Okay. Hey, good talking to you, Lynn, and I'll talk with you again real soon, buddy.
Okay, Earl. Thanks much.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. And that's Lynn Henning from the Detroit News talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, you've been listening to radio station WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. Have yourself a very safe day.
and a pleasant evening. And we'll see you tomorrow right here on WKAR. We'll talk more sports with you. We'll talk a little bit more about the college football bowl selection. We'll tell you about some of the things going on in basketball. There's just a lot of things going on in sports right now. So we look forward to talking with you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.